Hey guys, it's Monday. Wanting to start your week off with a short little podcast here about how you can pray for your pastor and your pastor's family. And so to help us think through some of that, Megan Kofer is back with us. We got two more episodes with Megan, including this one. And so Megan, what do you have for us today? How can we be praying for our pastor and their family?
Sure. So our first point was to pray for them to abide in Christ above all else. The next was to pray for their marriages, then pray for their children. And then this next one is to pray for their respective ministries.
Okay. So you go to a church, you got a pastor, and so his main ministry is preaching, teaching the word, mm-hmm. praying for his church membership. And then other churches may have student ministers, they may have discipleship pastors, so all different, whatever their respective area is. Why do you think praying for their particular ministry, why do we need to be doing that?
Well, I think it's first important to know what your ministry is going to be.
Yeah.
I think sometimes there's this stigma of, oh, you're a pastor's wife, you're going to sing in the choir, or you're going to play the piano, and not everyone fits into that
right.
exact mold. For me, ever since I was a student in high school myself, I prayed and prayed and prayed that the Lord would let me marry a student pastor because I knew that that's where I wanted to serve. And so for me, that worked out. Thankfully, mm-hmm. the Lord provided in that way. But I know for others, it might not be as clear. Where should I serve?
Yeah.
How should I serve? How much is too much or how much is too little?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that first part of where should I serve or
yeah.
how should I serve, I think is we need that wisdom and that clarity for sure.
So whenever I've been at Garrett for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
whenever we interviewed for that job, whenever I interviewed for that job, I made it very clear that you're hiring me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not hiring my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to kind of make clear at the beginning and then to say my wife has a certain set of gifts,
mm-hmm.
she has a certain set of burdens,
mm-hmm.
and to give time and space for her to see how that fits into the church that you're ministering in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a very wise. She doesn't have to be the leader of the GMAs or
mm-hmm.
the WMAs or play the piano or anything
right.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she does have a special set of gifts
mm-hmm.
that she needs to employ at some place within the church that
mm-hmm.
she gets to determine
mm-hmm.
and not somebody else
right.
for her.
We've been very blessed at the different churches we've been at that there's not been any set list of expectations
yeah.
or requirements
yeah.
for me. I think Jonathan has kind of gone into it with that same mindset of, you're hiring me. She's not getting paid to do this.
Right.
Whatever she does, like, is what God's placed on her heart. And so I think for church members to come alongside us and pray that your spouse, your pastor's spouse would find her place to serve
yeah.
and that the talents and abilities that God's given her would be able to be used for the glory of the Lord and for the edification and upbringing of the church. Like, I think, you know, we talk about the body of Christ and how that all works together. And, you know, because I'm not on staff, because I'm not paid, I experience a lot of freedom in being able to serve in the way that God has led me. But I think if you're struggling with finding that place, then I think prayer for that would be really beneficial.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
if you're like me and you know where you should be serving and what you should be doing, praying that in that ministry, in that place, that you would lead from a place of glorifying the Lord,
right.
not glorifying self.
Right, right.
Because it can be so easy when you have different gifts and abilities to rely on, okay, I got this, I know I can
right.
do that,
yeah.
And to not rely fully on the Lord in those
right.
areas.
So one of the things that we try to do at Garrett is we don't try to do things just because.
Mm-hmm.
But that oftentimes happens in a church, and the just because worker is oftentimes either the pastor himself or his wife or his family or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it because it's always been done. And
mm-hmm.
it's almost like we're afraid to let ministries run their course.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that a church is made up of a bunch of different people with a bunch of different gift sets.
Mm-hmm.
And that those seasons change. And so if the gift set within my church is changing,
mm-hmm.
then probably the ministries in which we are doing
mm-hmm.
need to change as well. And
mm-hmm.
if we don't do that, if we don't kind of have that aspect, if we're doing something just because, then we're probably not doing it in the strength of the Lord
mm-hmm.
or by faith. And we're probably not excited about it.
Yeah.
Either.
It becomes mundane and routine.
Yeah.
And I think you get caught up in that religion sometimes. You lose sight of the relationship and like what God is at work about.
Right.
And we didn't talk about this. I had written it down this morning, is that we need to keep the main thing, to not get caught up in the busyness of ministry, but to remain abiding, rooted in Christ. Make sure your relationship is strong with him so that you can be attentive to his guiding and his leading and not just do things because, oh, we've always done it this way.
Or competition. Like we oftentimes, we feel like this anxiety if the church down the road is doing something and seeing effectiveness there. And instead of celebrating that with them, we're like, well, we need to do something bigger and better. And which is not a good motivation.
And that's a good sign that you're not depending on the Lord. If you're trying to replicate something, you know, replication can be great. You know, I think the Bible tells us to replicate. We're to be disciple makers or to be, you know, but if you're replicating an idea or a vision of another church, then you're missing out on what God has for you and your church.
That's good. That's good. All right. So pray for your pastors, pray for their families, that they can find how God has uniquely gifted them and that they would be able to serve in those gifts rather than trying to meet the expectations of what everybody else thinks they should be doing. What a great way to pray for your pastor, for his wife, and for their kids. Come back next week. It's the last tip we get from Megan. It's going to be a doozy, It's going to be like...
It's so epic.
All right. Until then.